Okay, let's go over the sugya. The sugya is basically, we're sugya number 8, and where are tsroros liable? So we had a first shaila, and what was unresolved. We can go past, but let's look at shailas 2 and number 3, shailas of Rav Yirmiya that he asked Rav Zeira. So the first shaila was, animals walking. Now, remember, we're dealing with tsroros. The uniqueness of tsroros is that it is a tolda of regel, yet it only pays the half damage, as halacha l'moshe misinai. That's the one tolda that's different than the avos. But the fact that it pays half, trying to understand what does that halacha l'moshe misinai mean in terms of, obviously, the payment of this, even though it is a tolda of regel, the payment is like Karen, Tom, like a first-time offender of Karen. So do we give it other qualities of Karen, Tom? So, for example, regel in a Rishus HaRabim is potter. You don't pay in Rishus HaRabim. Karen Tom does pay in Rishus HaRabim. So that's one issue there. Oh, I see another typo over there. You know, I don't know what's going on with this thing over here. It's now doubling letters now. When I hit the keyboard, often it just will double a letter. Like, I can type 10 words, and 8 words. They got like 2 L's, 2 B's, and 2, you know, that's, anyway. So I'm picking them up as I'm going along here. Anyway, so let's look at the first shiloh over here, right on the top there. Animals walking or shusa rabim and strewed up pebbles and damage, what is the law? So now it does the damage of tsroros from start to finish in their shusa rabim. Do we compare it to Karen and you're liable for that because its payment is half payment? So do we treat it in terms of payment like Karen and therefore you pay? Or do we say, no, since it's a tolda of regel, we do it completely like regel and you be potter and shusarab. Rav Zeira said, presumably, since tsroros are tolda regel, it's exempt because that's natural and normal, and that's allowed to be done in Rishus HaRabim, so therefore it should have the same status as that. And we cross-referenced, that's exactly what Gemara answered for Rava, who had shilas about where you pay from the payment of the animal for this, but at least in this way, it makes it like a tolda of regel. Okay, and the second question is, what if it's strewed up pebbles in the Rishus HaRabim, but the damage hits the Rishus HaYachid? What's the law? Do we go by the beginning of the damage? What started the damage? The thrust from the animal's perspective? Or do we deal with the perspective from where the damage took place? So Rav Zeira said, listen, since he's exempt at the place where it strewed it up, he's not liable for where they land. In other words, if where he is, if it totally happened in Shusar Yerabim, if it would have damaged Shusar Yerabim, he wouldn't pay. So therefore, there's no problem with the kicking, as it were. So therefore, it doesn't really matter where it lands. And that was his answer to that. So now, we're going to now go back and bring from the question. Okay, the question of Rabbi Yirmiya is where we're going to review from at this point in time. All right? So clearly, he's saying two halachas. And the second halacha falls back on the first halacha. In other words, the first halacha says, pebbles in Shusar Rabim, potter. Okay. Now we could ask the second shaila, if pebbles in Shusar Rabim is potter, so now, if it starts in Shusar Rabim and Shusar Yochid, what's the shaila? He says it's potter again. Alright? So clearly, when Rav Zeira is going to, when Rav Yirmiya is going to ask questions now, if he's able to ask a question to knock off the first halacha, it's going to knock off both halachas. Do you see how that flows? Remember, the second shaila is only a shaila if the first shaila was answered the way it was. Again, question number one is, tsroros in a public domain, is it like regular you don't pay, or is it like Karen Tom you do pay? Once Rav Zeira said, you don't pay, now comes the second question. If you did pay in the Shusar Rabim, then there's no second question to ask. If it kicked in Rishus HaRabim and then goes Rishus HaYachid, well, you pay in either domain. There's no second question to be asked. But if you say that in the public thoroughfare you don't pay, now we could ask a second question. What if you kick it from the public thoroughfare and ends in the private one? Now you could ask a question. So now when we're going to ask questions. Rabbi Yirmiyah is going to try to disprove this answer. One thing's for sure, if he disproves the first psak halacha, then the second one automatically gets disproved. Right? If he's going to prove that you pay an Irshus Harabim, then the second question is a moot question. You got to pay if it ends up in Irshus HaYochid also. And that's really the line of these questions are trying to prove this issue. That even in Irshus HaRabim, you pay for Tzraras. And therefore both questions fall off. That's the nature of the questions that he is asking. So now let's take it back to this Brisa. Esave. More, he asks a question from a Brisa. Hoise mehaleches baderech vehetiza. Okay, we're about seven or eight lines from the bottom. Hoise mehaleches baderech vehetiza. It's going on the road and it kicks up some stones and it breaks something. Now, that's what the Brisa says. Now, in the next few words, the one who's asked the question is assuming the words mean what the way it's going to be presented, but you're not forced to say that. That's going to be the opening to the answer. It says it's going, it doesn't say where it's going yet. It's just going in a place and kicking up stones in a normal fashion. So he says, Bein Bereshus Harabim, Bein Bereshus HaYochid, whether in a private domain or a public domain. Now, how do you simply understand that line? So what happened exactly? Simple understanding of the line, not using any clever gimmicks. What would you think it means? What's it describing? Two scenarios. What are the two scenarios? From those words alone. Explain exactly what happened. Describe it graphically from beginning to end. A cow comes along. Where's the cow?
In the public domain.
And what does it do?
It kicks to a product.
And it breaks something
in the public domain.
Okay. And is there another scenario?
It goes in the private domain and breaks something in the private domain.
Okay. The simple meaning is, if it does the damage of Tzraros, whether it damages by going into a private domain and damaging there, or whether it goes into a public domain and damages there. That's the simple translation of the words. It kicked up stones, whether in a private domain, meaning going into a private domain, kicking in a private domain and damaging, or being in the public domain, kicking in the public domain and damaging the public domain. And what's the law? Chayav. You're chayav. That's a brisa. Now, how should we understand it? My love, shouldn't we learn it exactly that way, just as we explained it? Hey, tiza b'rishus harabim, that it kicked in rishus harabim, v'hei zika b'rishus and damaged rishus harabim. It's one of the two cases, and the other one is obvious. It kicked in rishus hayachin, damaged rishus hayachin. Isn't that what it's saying? So therefore, what is this question effectively saying? The Brisa says, if you kick in rishus harabim, and it damaged rishus harabim, you gotta pay. So now the whole thing tumbles down. Now, it's wrong, you're wrong. You said you don't pay rishus harabim. And the second Shiloh also you'd be wrong. It's not even a shayla anymore. That seems to be the simple way to explain this price. So to which Reb Zeir has to come back, right? That's clear what it says in the notes. Thus we see that one is liable for tzoros in the public domain. That was Reb Yirmiyah's first question. And the Brisa therefore contradicts Reb Zeir on both counts. One is liable for tzoros in the public domain. And naturally then, one is certainly liable with tzoros damage in the damaged party's yard. That goes without saying. So he's knocked off both answers of Rav Zeira. So Rav Zeira says, no, you don't have to learn the Brisa specifically that way. Jessica says, whether in a private, whether in a public, we could learn the Brisa like this. Lo, no, we could say the Brisa is speaking like this. Heitiza b'rishus harabim, v'hizika b'rishus hayachid. It kicked in the rishus harabim, but damaged in the rishus hayachid. So what does it mean when it says bane, whether rishus hayachid rishus harabim? It means like this. It pays if it strews up pebbles and it damages in a private domain, whether the damage started in a private domain or whether the damage started in a public domain, you have to pay. You could learn it that way. If the Brisa is assuming you only pay if you damage in a private domain, then we could say it doesn't matter where the strewing up of the stone starts from. That's how you could learn it. That's what the notes say. The Braisa does not mean if she was walking on the road in the public domain and propelled pebbles that broke utensils, whether those utensils were sitting in a private domain or a public domain, her owner is liable. Rather, the Braisa refers only to where the utensils were broken in the private domain. And when he says the words, the Braisa, whether in a private domain or a public domain, the Braisa means where the animal was walking in a private domain or a public domain, the owner is liable since the source broke utensils in the private domain. Thus, this price does not contradict Reb Zera's first ruling. You follow? He's learning the price to say, if it kicked up stones and damaged, and of course you only pay if the damage happens to Shayachid. It doesn't matter if it kicked from the Shayachid or it kicked from the Shusarabim, that's when you pay. So now that answer doesn't get him totally out of the mess, because at least, what about his second answer? The second question that he answered, what did Reb Zera say about the second question? If it kicks in the public, goes in the private, you don't pay either, right? Wasn't that the law? So Reb Yirmiyah comes back and says, well, wait a minute, that's not going to help you for the second question. But you said from public to private, Akira Einkan, if there's no initial movement that you're chayim for, Hanocha Yeshkan, can you be liable for when it comes to rest? You said you'd be potter in the case of Rishus Haram Shusayachid. You won't answer that. So Amarlay, he says, you're right. Otherbi, I gotta retract the second rule. I'm wrong. I'm forced to retract. You're right. You got me. Even though my logic seems to say, well, if I'd be potter over there, but no. Whoa. Indeed, I'm forced to concede that this price indicates at the very least that one is liable for tsroras that were propelled in the public domain and broke utensils in the damaged party's yard. My argument that we must follow the initial propulsion that tsroras is disproven. I still remain, however, maintain that tsroras is a told of regal and one is not liable for them in the public domain if utensils were broken there. Now the question is, okay, there's a price that gets him up, but what's the logic of the price? There is a good logic, isn't there? Wasn't Reb Zera's logic a good logic? I mean, it's a good logic. I kicked in the Rishus HaRabim. I'm entitled to have my animal kick in the Rishus HaRabim. It's normal for him to be in the Rishus HaRabim. So why should he have to pay if it goes in the Rishus HaYochid? Just because the Braisa says so. Okay, you can't argue the Braisa says, I'm finished. What can you do? But what is the logic to that? So look nicely here. He's a very good point over here. And we'll have to take a look at the pasuk in Shmos to really appreciate. You're going to get a little better appreciation here. 22:4. Here we go. Let's read the pasuk again. We've seen it. Keep seeing it over and over. Kift. Right on top. Ki yaver ish sada o kerem v'shilach es b'iro. If a man causes a field or vineyard to be eaten and he sends his beast, u'bier b'stei Acher, and it shall feed in another man's field. We've already explained that this pasuk is referring to both avos of Shein and Regel. Shein and Regel. This pasuk, Shein and Regel. Right? And where does it happen? Ubier bistei acher. And the damage happened in the damaged party's land. So what the Torah is focusing, it has to happen in the damaged party's land. And here you see that the pasuk is saying that whenever you're going to damage the damaged party's land, you should pay. And that's the focal point he's going to look at. The Torah is telling us we have to look at where the damage occurs, not where it started from. It's bier bistei acher. It caused the damage in the other person's field. And that's what the comment is going to say over here. He's going to say, look at the brackets over here. The reason we follow the place in which the utensil was broken is the Torah states that when it's liable for regel where the animal consumes in the field of another, indicating that the critical factor is the place in which the actual consumption occurs. That's what the Torah is saying. The critical factor is where the consumption occurs. Even though you'd figure he had full rights to be there, you're right, he had full rights to be there, but it was propelling into Rishus HaYochid. And you cannot do anything that goes into somebody else's field and creates damages for that. But since it's Shoresh, you'll still only pay half damages because it's an unusual type of damage, but you still pay the half damage.
Is that still different than, I mean, if the animal's eating, it's eating.
Or trampling.
Either eating or trampling, but it's in the, it's not like he started eating here and ended up eating over here. He just went in there and he ate.
That's eating, but now we have to look at trampling.
There's a separation between ensoros versus eating.
Right, so that's the chiddush of the Torah, that if there is a, if, that the focal point is, you know, I mean, it is the damagee's property, and that we only look at, is the damage happening in the damagee's property, and not that you are going into the damagee's property. That's what the Torah is. No, because you paid Sroros even if you go right into the property. What if the animal walked into the property and kicked up stones? You pay half for that as well. Pay half for that as well. That's the incident of the Torah. That's God's logic that we have to nullify ourselves to. Yeah?
So one, again, just as I was thinking about this as you were talking, so this is the public domain, this is private, and there's a fence here, and there's stuff growing, and it grows through the fence.
So that's a whole different issue now.
So the animal eats it, but the stalk is up here.
You may not be chayav then, because you only ate in the public domain.
But if it yanked it out, and it pulled it out from there, then you would be.
I don't know. We'd have to look at that, because there you could say it's the owner's fault. He shouldn't have his stuff growing into the public domain. He's contributing to his loss. You shouldn't have it in a place where the animal could yank it.
We did where the guy's walking the horse and the fruit tree's hanging on the fence.
Yeah, that's right.
He claps an orange.
That's right.
He's pumped because it's in the public domain.
That's right. That's what we're saying.
Yeah.
No, Earl was saying more. Earl was saying, what if he yanks the whole thing out of it? But it'd be the same thing, because what do you want the horse to do? It's in the public domain, and it's doing that, right? So anyway, so that is that. So what have we accomplished? We accomplished that Rav Zera had to concede the second point. He had to concede the second point based on the Brisa.
In the Rambam, we also learned, like if you have a storefront, and you put your wares out right in front of your store, and it's private domain, but it's on the border of the public domain.
Yes, that also could be a problem.
So
I don't remember. I don't remember all these. You have better memory than me.
Remember, so isn't there some leniency where it's you're off the hook because the store owner shouldn't have put them so close to the public domain?
Yeah, but this is the stones are being propelled right into there. That could be very. But it doesn't have to be close.
My cow propels some stones and it hits some trinkets you put out in your storefront on your property, but it's borders the public domain.
I don't know.
We did it. I know we did it.
I don't remember. I don't remember offhand. Okay, so that's round one. Now, the next piece, Rabbi Yirmi is going to present a different question for the same goal. The question is going to be, why does he present it twice? And we'll discuss that afterwards. But he hit him at least on one. So now he's going to, he's going to try to hit him on, so he's got the second Shaila out, but the first one he wasn't able to knock out Rav Zera. Maybe he can knock out Rav Zera from here. Now we're doing something more. We're not just bringing a Brisa, we're going to bring a Mishnah that got clarified by a Brisa, which would seem to be even more clear to what he's saying. Eisvei, it's our Mishnah that we learned. This Mishnah, our first Mishnah. Doras alakli. The animal steps on a utensil, boom. Vishavrasa and breaks it. Vinafala shevra al kliacher. The piece flies to another utensil. Vishavra breaks the other utensil. Right? We have that Mishnah. The animal just, not kicking, just walks, steps on a utensil, breaks the utensil, a piece goes flying and damages another piece. What did the Mishnah say? The Mishnah said, al harishon mishalim nezek shalem. You pay for the first one, the one you stepped on, a full payment. And on the second one, you pay half. Because the first one is regal, the second one is troros. That's the Mishnah. But now, we're going to introduce you a brisa that qualifies this Mishnah. So the brisa is saying, okay, and I'm telling you a little bit more what this Mishnah means. Vitani Allah, we learn in a brisa. Come on, we learn in a brisa concerning that clause. It says, "Bameh." Look, it's really going slow today. I don't know what's going on. Or I'm not tapping well today. "Bameh dvorim amurim." When were these things said? That what? That you pay the whole and then the half? Birishus Hanizik. This is when it damaged in the damaged party's domain. All right? In other words, everything he did was in the damaged party's domain. The animal walked in the damaged party's domain, stepped on a utensil, you pay the full for the utensil, goes flying off to the side, breaks another thing, path. That misses when everything's going on in the damaged person's domain. That's what the Bryce is explaining. But what about Aval Brishus Arabim? But if this all happened in a public domain, all happened. Simple meaning means from start to finish happened in the public domain. Alarishon Petur. You don't pay for the first one because the animal's allowed to walk in the public domain. But Valachron Chayevis, but you have to pay for the second one, half. So what's the Bryce explaining in the Mishnah? Saying if it all happens in Shus HaYachid, you pay for Tsraras in Shus HaYachid. Right? In the public domain. You stepped on the thing, it broke. The Mishnah says you pay full for the item and half for what got something broke. But the Bryce says that's only the private, if all happens in the private domain. If it happens in the public domain, you don't pay for the first one at all. But the second one, you're still going to pay half. So it again proves Tsraras is chayiv in the public domain.
Public.
That's the whole point. That's what the Bryce is saying. Remember, the Mishnah said, an animal steps on a thing, breaks it, flies off and breaks another one. You pay half, full, and then whole. Where is that speaking? I don't know. Bryce explains where it's speaking. Only in a private domain. But in a public domain, you don't pay for the first one, but you pay for the second one. Clearly, Soros pays in the Rishus Harab. And now Gemara is finishing up the question. My love, didn't Bryce mean when it explained that what was going on is you kicked it, you broke it, Bershus Harabim, you stepped on it, Vehezik, and the subsequent damage was also Bershus Harabim, was all in Bershus Harabim. So again, that would prove that Sroros is Chayv in Bershus Harabim, as per the explanation of the Bryce. Right? Certainly, the Brisa means that the animal stepped in the utensil in the public domain, for that is the only case in which her owner will be completely free from liability of the first utensil. Right? Isn't that clear what happened? So, the Brisa is saying, and it probably broke the utensil in that first domain as well. So now you're knocked out. Sroros doesn't pay. Does pay in Rishus HaRabim. So he's gonna get the same answer. Well, no! It's the case is no. When he says in Rishus HaRabim, he means he teased of Rishus HaRabim veisik of Rishus HaYachid. It did it by kicking Rishus HaRabim, but it ended in the Rishus HaYachid. That's when you pay for the tzoros in Rishus HaYachid. That's what he's saying. To which the Gemara is going to come back with the same thing he said before. Aye, but you said Va'amar. You said Akira Einkan. If there's no initial reason behind where he did it, Hanocha Yeshkam. Could there be a problem when it comes to rest? It's the same question he asked before. If you're going to learn that the Bryce's explanation of the Mishnah is that when it happens to Shurabim, he means that in Shurabim it kicked, but it broke. It stepped and broke in Shurabim. You're potter. But when it goes and hits the other one, you're chayev in Shayachid. Well, but you before said that's not true. So what does he say? Amar le, he says, you're right. Hadrabi, I guess I have to retract on that. So now, there's an obvious question here. Isn't this second whole give and take a repetition of the first give and take? So the notes here gives a simple answer. There's deeper answers. This second discussion is essentially identical to the first, except that it involves a different brisa. The same challenges presented, the same concession extracted. Possibly, Rabbi Yirmiyah presented both challenges for Abzer at the same time, but the Gemara separates them into distinct discussions as if one was independent of the other. In other words, it could very well be Rabbi Yirmiyah threw both brises. He hit him with both two proofs. And he answered both at the same time, but when you're presenting in the Gemara, it's difficult when you present it all in one time. He presented rather as two distinct things, although it happened all at the same time. In other words, he presented two brises with two questions, proving it twice. And he had to answer the same way twice. When the Gemara wrote it down, they wrote it down easier for us to digest it one piece at a time, so to speak. That's his answer. There's other answers. Where the first time we brought from a brisa. Brisa, you know, is not as strong of a proof as from a Mishnah. The second time around, he's bringing it from a Mishnah. know, Bryce could say, well, Bryce, you know, it's a Bryce. A Mishnah is certainly from Yehuda unless you put it in. And more than that, it was a Mishnah that a Bryce went and explained. So it seemed it would be even more clear to be this way. So Rabbi Zera says, no, even it would seem to be more clear, it's not enough. And remember, he was presenting this, because he already knocked him off on the second Shiloh, but he wanted to knock him off on the first Shiloh. And it's a clearer proof from the Mishnah as the Bryce is already explaining it. So he says, no, it's still not a proof, and you're right, I'll have to concede that second point anyway. The second point I already conceded, but I'm trying to hold to my first point. So that's why he brought it a second time. Questions?
I'm a bit confused. So I thought here we just said, they just proved that if you're not responsible, if it breaks it, if the first kick is, or the first source is not responsible, then clearly the second one's not responsible.
No. That's not what he said. Remember, let's go back to our Mishnah. Our Mishnah says, if you step on the utensil and break it, and then it flies off its other one, you pay full for the utensil and half for what it broke by flying away. Right? That's what the Mishnah said. Clear?
Yeah.
Now, for sure, now if I would ask you, where did that have to happen? You'd say, Nir Shusar Yochid. Right? The Braisa went and said, you're right, that's Nir Shusar Yochid, but in Shusar Rabim, it's not so. Shusar Rabim, you don't pay for breaking the utensil, because it's allowed to Shusar Rabim, but you pay for the Tsraros in the Shusar Rabim. We thought that was what the question thought it was saying. And that would prove you pay for it in Shusar Rabim. Rabbi Zera said, no. What the Braisa meant was, when it says, but in Rishus HaYochid you pay, it means if it kicked from Rishus HaRabim, it broke. It broke in Rishus HaRabim. So for that one, you're going to be putter. Because you're allowed to step. But the breaking caused the tsroros that hits in Rishus HaYochid, for that you're going to pay half. It's no different than regular tsroros, where you just damage on the other side, and you pay half for going out there. So even though you were putter for the one you broke, but you caused something to go flying, so you have to pay half for that. Okay. The Gemara is going to do one more, a similar time, a third time, similar issues involved over here. Gemara now says, ain't he, but it's not so, that one is not liable for Tsaros and Pelgrim. I'm going to give you one more proof, and now he's going to bring a ladder rabbi. Sometimes when you bring later rabbis, these are later rabbis who, after they have all the information, they're giving you halacha l'maisa. It also is a pretty credible source. So let's take a look at what the later rabbi has to say. Got to wait till we get to the next page. Okay, what are you doing? Yeah, see, there's what these apps have to make. Now you're going to get updates. Things we fix so it doesn't crash so long, right? And I'm just trying to make it bigger, and it just keeps up. See? Something about when you do it past its breaking point, you don't know when you get past the breaking point. It just, okay. Okay, we'll try it one more time. I think, you know what? I never have a problem the first 25 minutes.
Maybe you should close off the program.
And then have to start all over.
It's just going to crash on you.
Well, let's try one more time. Well, it closed it.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. That solves many things. Push the X.
It doesn't listen to pressing the X. Okay, that's about all. Okay, we're just going to do the following. I'm just gonna go with the popover. That's all. Okay, 1 second. Let me just
take off the colors. Just
push. Yeah, it might be, but anyway, let's just do this. Okay, V'amar Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan said the following. Okay, Rabbi Yochanan says, "Ein chatzi nezek choluk." There's no distinction in paying the half damages. Lo l'rishus ha'yochid, v'lo l'rishus ha'rabim. Rabbi Yochanan says, when we talk about paying half damages, it doesn't matter whether it's in the private domain or the public domain. That's what Rabbi Yochanan said. So now, what does that mean? What does that mean? What did Rabbi Yochanan say? There's no difference in half payments in Rishus HaRav and Rishus HaYochid. So my love, doesn't he mean to say, when we're speaking, Heitisa Rishus HaRavim, Vehezik Rishus HaRavim, even if you sprayed it in Rishus HaRavim and it damaged in Rishus HaRavim, he says there's no difference in the half damages in Rishus HaRav and Rishus HaYochid. Rabbi Yochanan says, when you pay the half damage, it doesn't matter Rishus HaRav and Rishus HaYochid. Doesn't mean to say, if it did it all in Rishus HaRavim, you pay half as well. Rabbi Yochanan seems to state a rule that the law of half damages does not recognize different domains. Rabbi Yochanan seems to say that whenever you pay half damage, doesn't matter where it is, it's always half damage, finished. Well, if that's the case, let's plug it into our case at Sroros. Sroros pays half damage, doesn't matter what domain. Doesn't matter what domain. If I kicked it and damaged the Sharabim, I pay half damage. Rabbi Yochanan says, a general rule, half damages, doesn't matter where you do it, you always pay half damages. So it would appear that if you do Sroros and Sharabim, you pay half damages. And that's Rabbi Yochanan's ruling. So you pay even Sroros and Rishus HaRavim. So what do you think he's going to answer? Same answers we've had all along. Lo, no, he meant only when he teaches Rishus HaRavim and Rishus HaYochid, when he kicks Rishus HaRavim and damages Rishus HaYochid. That's what he meant. He says it makes no difference where the Sroros were initially propelled. As long as utensil is broken, it's in the private domain, then the animal's owner is liable. It has to still fit that criteria. So then they ask the same question again. But still doesn't involve Marta, Kira, Einkan, and Nochi Yeshka. You said, but once you're not obligated for the propelling, you shouldn't be have to pay for where the damage happened. Marley, he said, listen, Hadribi, I guess I got to retract again. Same idea, same notion. He said, Rabbi Yochanan said, it doesn't matter where it is, so the only way I got out of it is saying it propelled it for Sayyachid, and if Shabbam, that's when you pay. So I'm out. So you're right, I have to retract on that first point. But here, though, they said, and if you want, I can even say a better answer. For this one, at least, I don't have to retract. Because remember, Rabbi Yochanan said a general statement, we don't make a difference between half damage where it was, but hold on. How do you know he said it carte blanche? You boys, Ema, if you want, I can give another answer. You know when Rabbi Yochanan said we don't make a difference between Shusha Rabbi and Shusha Yochid? He only said it, came Rabbi Yochanan, a Karen. He only said it by Karen. When animal gores, you don't make a difference in what Rishus it's in. How do you know he's talking about Sroros? Then it knocks off totally the question. So even though this can totally knock off the question, but from the first two rounds, we already had him knocked off. And therefore, how do we conclude this sugya? So let's take a look in the notes. Oop, wrong. I don't want an email, but rather I want this. So let's go back. We have the three questions, right? Let's look. Again, question number one of Revere on both answers. Brisa says it was walking and strewed up pebbles, whether in Rishus HaRabim or Rishus HaYochid, it is liable. Suggestion it strewed up in Rishus HaRabim and damaged Rishus HaRabim. And that would prove that Sroros is Chaim Rishus HaRabim. Answer of Sarah, no, it strewed up in Rishus HaRabim and damaged Rishus HaYochid. Question of Yirmiya, you said that that's also exempt. 11, retraction. I retract the law. All right. Now, I don't want to get into what I put in the brackets. It's going to confuse you enough. And then 12. Start another proof from our Mishnah. If it trampled on a kli and broke it, and fragments broke another kli, it pays full damage on the first kli and half damage on the second. A brisa qualifies the Mishnah is only in the victim's premises. But in Rishus HaRavim, it is exempt for the first kli and liable for the last. Suggestion. It strewed up in Rishus HaRavim and damaged Rishus HaRavim. And therefore you see your chayev. Answer, no. It's strewed up in Rishus HaRavim and damaged Rishus HaYochid. But you said that it's exempt, so I guess I'll have to retract. Again, point 18. Rabbi Yochanan taught there's no distinction half damage in Rishus HaRavim and Rishus HaYochid. Suggestion, this means he's liable even if he's screwed up in Rishus HaRavim and damaged Rishus HaRavim. Answer, no, it's screwed up in Rishus HaRavim and damaged Rishus HaYochid. But you said it's also exempt, I retract it. Or a second answer is, Rabbi Yochanan discussed only Karen had nothing to do with our issue of Tzroros. What are the resolutions? Well, we had three shilas, so the resolutions are as follows. The first shila, that we didn't review today, the Gemara is unresolved in a case. If an animal is walking in a place where it must strew up pebbles and intentionally kick pebbles and damage, we were unresolved. That was yesterday. But what's looking at today is, if an animal is walking in a robin and strewed up pebbles and damaged the robin, the owner is exempt, because we never got him off of that one. But if it's strewed up pebbles and a rishus a robin and damages a yachid, the owner is liable, and that's how we conclude. So that's the, so we have at least a sugya with a conclusion. The first shaila was not concluded, but the second one is. So all tsraras start to finish in shus harabim are potter, but if it starts in shus harabim and ends in shus hayachid, you pay it as tsraros is. Tomorrow we're going to learn what's the law if the animal damages by wagging its tail.